Welcome back. I am your main host, Washed Out by the White Closet. Welcome back to the podcast. I think I say that almost exactly the same unintentionally for the past like 10 episodes, and I'm going to try and stop that, but we're going to see. Also, right into this.
What? It's blinking in the back.
But yeah, it goes in and out. Goes in and out because the camera is trying to focus on me, but as I back up, it's focusing on this, and so now it's trying to blend me and this together. But then I get closer, and it's focusing on the foreground and not the background. So it's fine. Only people who are watching the YouTube video will see this. If you're listening on Spotify, hi, we're in your ears.
Yeah, hello.
The reason we are a week late on our newest episode is because of multiple reasons. One, I finished a year-long acting school that I was a part of, and last weekend was my showcase. We were preparing scenes with our partners and the class together, and we had to present them in front of friends, family, and acting agents. So that was on Friday and Saturday, and so it was just a big weekend that I ran out of time to be able to record a podcast. On top of that, I was in the middle. Of course, it happens during the showcase. I don't know if it was just like a head cold. It wasn't COVID, but it was like some head cold or a light flu or something. I started to lose my voice. I think I'd overused it over the past week and gave myself a minor cold because of it. And so I was trying to do my scenes, sucking on Ricolas and taking honey so that I could preserve my throat. And then on top of that, I was like, oh crap, it's the weekend to record a podcast. So I said, screw it, we'll do it next week, and we're here. So that's why we are doing it a week later. Please forgive me, our loyal 5 listeners. So with that, I'm going to hand it off to you because you are the ringleader for this episode. You have topics that you'd like to go. So I don't know which one you want to shoot first, but I'm ready for either one.
Yeah, at first one's a short topic. I'm not religious, although I do follow my religion. And I'm wondering when the aliens are going to come.
I can't wait.
Yeah, because everything seems to be happening to our country, from climate control to right now they're saying there's going to be a shortage of water in some of the western states.
That doesn't affect us. We're in the eastern part.
Yeah. that by me in Florida, we're going to have a very possibly bad hurricane season, which annoys me.
Yeah.
But I read something, and it's been on our morning news programs, and they keep repeating it. But a little funny story. We have a very good Italian restaurant by me called Caesar's by the Beach. And you like that Italian restaurant, right?
I do. It's a very nice Italian restaurant.
Yeah. And I was going to go there, take a little ride. It's only 5 minutes from the house. And I was going to order a nice Italian dish and an order of snails and garlic and butter sauce. Now, a lot of people don't think about eating snails, but actually, when prepared properly, they are absolutely delicious. And I was going to bring a couple of orders for my next door neighbors who are very nice, who love their food. Well, lo and behold, on the news, and these are not the same kind of snails that I'm going to be talking about, African snails have invaded the county not too far from me, and they pose a health threat to humans because they carry a parasite called rat lungworm, which can cause meningitis, Christina Chitty, whatever that is. There's a lot of
Christina Chitty. Christina Chitty's the public director, information director for the Florida Department of Agricultural and Consumer Services.
So they don't cause her. I got my wires crossed. You can get information from her or CNN. But what these snails do, and I saw a picture of them, they're giant suckers. They came from Africa. They say that according to Chitty, the population in Pasco County, which is not too far from me, likely it originated from illegal pet trade. That giant African snails are illegal, as well as other pets in the United States. And these snails, they lay 2,500 up to 2,500 eggs per year. And there's a load of them. And they've quarantined the county. And they are trying to figure out how to destroy them before it spreads all over Florida. And I immediately changed my menu, even though the snails I was going to eat had nothing to do with them. It just didn't appeal to me anymore. And
just for reference, when we're talking giant snails, these snails can get upwards of 8 inches long, the average male size. Can get that big.
that's kind of big.
That's average.
So we got pythons that are loose, snails that are loose.
Well, Florida's a hellhole in its own right. You guys got alligators freaking everywhere. You got tiny ones coming in and out of your toilets. You got the pythons coming in and out of your toilets. You've got sharks eating people. Didn't a shark just attack a girl recently? Was it in Florida? You've got massive parasitic African snails. Great. Yeah. And their eggs being upwards of 2,500 a year. Great. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Those snails can shit out 2,500 of those suckers per year. Those snails also eat 500 different types of plant species, which means they virtually eat fucking anything. Excuse me.
Yeah. And, you know, what's really scary is when they talk about snakes and they talk about, you know, these snails and I literally have been very, very lucky. The only thing I've ever seen in a snake is a black sidewinder, which is like a 6-foot giant garden snake. But when you go to the areas where the swamps are, you got to be careful. I mean, I don't put my hands in the ponds anymore when I play golf because of snapping turtles. And you never know what comes through the pipes. You could have an alligator, you know. So I'm starting to think about Charlton Heston in his movies where the plague came to Egypt. I'm starting to wonder what's going to happen in the United States between the warning they just gave out. They're concerned about fires because in certain areas it's very dry. We got so much going wrong on our planet right now, plus the economy. And it's like a shithole. And excuse my language, it is.
It is.
Yeah. And with that, I want to lead into something else.
Okay.
You want to say anything else? Okay.
The plague of snails is comical at best, problematic at least, because it's only in Florida, and at worst, it'll go to another county. I don't expect it to go farther than Florida. And I'm not surprised that it's in Florida, because Florida tends to have a lot of sort of black market animal trading. You've got Tiger King with the tigers and the exotic animals. Florida tends to be a nice location for a lot of exotic animal lovers because it's warm climate and it's easier to create a climate that's cold for them. For their animals than it is to create a hot climate. So Florida tends to be where you see a lot of those sort of traders and such. So I'm not surprised that it happened in Florida. America's we're hitting that 250-year mark where civilizations and empires tend to crumble and start over. Like historically, civilizations / empires tend to last about 250 years, and we are 3 years shy of that. So we shall see what happens.
Yeah, with our politics, America is separating. So we've got a lot of things, you know, going on that's not for the good. I still say, compared to a lot of other countries, we're still one of the best countries in the world. But that doesn't mean, you know, if you're like a person in quicksand, you don't yell, "Hey, we got a great country." You got to get out of the quicksand. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I agree with that one.
Okay.
I don't know if I agree with that one. I think we may have fast tracks to stuff that benefit people, but I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough one. We can't get into that one. That one's off territory for today, because that'll derail the entire podcast.
No, we may be able to get back to it at the end, because this next part is short. But in addition to the snails and things happening with climate control, my best friend just called me this morning. He always calls me when we call it the locks run. He goes to, he lives in a Jewish neighborhood in Delray Beach, and he goes for locks every Sunday and rolls and bagels, and tells me his son, who lives in Boca with his wife and two children, all came down with COVID this week, and his son is running at a high temperature, and his son's a doctor, and they've all been vaccinated. So I start thinking to myself, Jesus, I've had the booster. The booster's almost a year old. I was going to go for a second booster, but now they're talking about an improved booster, so I'm not getting anything yet. So I hope we're not going to get a second outbreak of COVID and some other diseases.
You know, there's already a fifth outbreak of it that apparently is as deadly as Delta, but has the spreading capabilities of Omicron, but attacks the lungs like the original first wave. So that's where we're at now with COVID. Apparently the winter is going to be difficult. That's why they're pushing for boosters, because the winter is where it's going to get really bad. Apparently. Don't know.
Yeah. So snails were just an additional thing. I mean, you know, I'd like to hear some good news. The stock market's in the crapper. Everything seems to be headed downwards. But except for one thing that I want to talk about now, that's going up, up, up. When my dad and I, when I was a kid, we lived in Brooklyn. My dad used to take me to Ebbets Field to see the Dodgers. We used to go to baseball games. And when he didn't take me, and I didn't want to go to Hebrew school, or it was a Saturday and there was no Hebrew school, and I didn't feel like I didn't have to prepare for my bar mitzvah, I would take my bike and or a bus. I think it was mostly a bike, and I would ride over to Ebbets Field, and I watch a game. And in those days, it was very, very cheap and enjoyable. In fact, you could go to a game for a doubleheader for $5, and Frankfurters were like a quarter. And beer, I didn't drink beer naturally when I went with my dad, but we had a ritual. We went across the street to the restaurant. I had a hamburger, I had French fries. Then we went into the game and there was a doubleheader. And then later on, I became a man. I got married. I married your grandmother and Janine, your sister, and my son David. You know, daughter and son would come with me and we'd go to see the Mets play, because I was a Mets fan. And my father's company had a box and my wife's company had a box. So I could go to any games that I wanted right next to the owner of the Mets, Mrs. Payson, and it was great. The only thing was, I noticed at that time, not luckily, my father gave me money or I had something special. Parking in those days was $20. It's probably $60-$70 now. Going there, I used to go with your mother, mother and my son. And if we went to a game in box seats, the box seats at those times were $100 a piece. There were four box seats, $100. And we used to bring something to eat, but couldn't bring much because when you went to a doubleheader, it was too hot. Right. But it, you know, it was costly. You know, we'd have ice cream and sodas and popcorn and all that stuff. But in retrospect to today, it was cheap. Well, when I left Brooklyn and we moved to Florida, my dad had passed away. And for a time before, after he passed away, there was no way. I had no connection. My grandmother wasn't working anymore. So I had no connection for her tickets and no connection for my dad's tickets. And I went, and I was so used to good tickets. The tickets were so expensive. Four of the same tickets that I had before were like $1,000 or something along those lines. So I realized, gee, this is not, unless I wanted to sit in the bleachers, which I did for a couple of games with your mother, wasn't an average man's, you know, place to go. So this is what I'm leading into now. Basketball, New York Knicks, all the NBA players. High school, 1962. I graduate from high school, 61, 62. My friends and I used to go into the city, hop on the subway, about eight of us. We used to go to a local bar. I looked like I was 14, but I actually at the time was 17 or 18. And we used to go to a local bar, get sandwiches. I'd have a soda, because I couldn't get any liquor. And we had what was known as the general organization, GO tickets. And we used to get tickets for 50 cents. And we used to sit upstairs, 50 cents, watch a Knick game. And if it was an NCAA game, we'd watch three games for 50 cents. And now everything has changed. The NBA, loads of free agents. A free agent has many different categories. I won't get into them, but let's just say a free agent has the ability to sign with a new team for a new contract. There are different basis for this. The salaries are ridiculous. The salaries make me sick thinking that there are people in our country that are starving. Also, you know, they advertise, like the Knicks advertise, there are $12 tickets. The average ticket, I think, is $146, and that's not even a good ticket. Let me give you an idea of some of the new contracts or some of the old contracts. And also, these players are great. They're the best players in the world. So, you know, people will say, well, they deserve it because it's only a few players will make the NBA. And that's what I used to stress to my students who thought they were good basketball players and didn't want to go to college. They thought right out of college, they go into the NBA. I used to tell them, get a good education. Well, not everybody makes the NBA. So people will say, oh, they deserve this money. I don't think so. Example. LeBron James for 1 year, 1 year contract, $41 million left on his contract. Stephen Curry, maybe the greatest shooter in NBA history, 1 year left on his contract, $45 million. And I'll give you five other players that, to me, they're good players. Bradley Beal just signed a five-year contract, $251 million. Zach LaVine, a good player, signed a five-year contract, $215 million. You listen to these amounts? Yeah. Jalen Brunson's going to the Knicks. They needed a point guard. 4 years, $104 million. Anfree Simmons, I think 4 years, $100 million. And the last one, the Knicks re-signed Mitchell Robinson, I believe 4 years, $60 million. Baseball. Mike Trout, maybe the best player in baseball. So he has an old contract, but $426 million for 12 years. Mookie Betts, $365 million for 12 years. Francisco Lindor, $341 million for 10 years. And I got a whole bunch of people here, and I just don't want to bore everybody, but these players are making fantastic amounts of money because they're the best of the best. Yet, who's going to pay for their contracts in the long run? A lot of the TV stations pay for it with the contracts, you know, with TV and so on and so forth. But still, with ticket prices so high, going to a game is not a family sport anymore unless you're rich. Because between parking and going to the game, a family of four could spend upwards of $600-$700 to $1,000 to go to a basketball game. Unless they can get $12 tickets. I don't know where they are. They must be the last two rows, you know, that they say they got $12 tickets. And baseball tickets, you can get reasonable prices, you know, reasonable seats. But again, my complaint is we have so many people starving, so many people going homeless. And as you say, and I'll turn this over to you, as you say, we got the rich, we have the poor, and very little in between. And you can't buy as much as you could now as you could before.
That's very true. The buying power is wildly low because inflation and people not wanting to raise rates. Just as a small addition, an example, I went to go see Paul McCartney at whatever massive football stadium sized place we went to. I don't remember. I think it was MetLife Stadium. $40 to park a car. They didn't park it for me. There's no one watching my car. I paid $40 to get the car a mile from the place. I parked at the farthest place because I wanted to be able to leave faster. My sister and I, what we did, it was specifically our choice. You can only go about halfway up the parking lot because anything past that halfway mark is for VIP people. You have to pay extra for that. You have to have special tickets and you have to pay special fees for that. So everyone, all the plebs, all the poor people who spent hundreds of dollars on their tickets, who were not in box seats or floor seats, they have to park a mile away. And it's not a real mile, I'm being exaggerating, but we parked at the absolute end because when it was over, we sprinted because we knew that almost everyone there was either going to be walking to their car or just getting in their car. So we sprinted back to our car and got out before the main crowd did. That was a sidebar, completely random. Anyways, $40 to park a car. All I did was get there. And it was $40. What the hell? Like, if I'm going to pay $40, you either have to valet that crap for me, or I get to park closer and not have to worry about traffic on the way out. Why the hell am I paying $40 to park? There's, mind you, there is a mall, the American Dream Mall. Oh, the big mall that failed miserably. There's a literal bridge to the MetLife Stadium. I could park there for free and walk across. Why the hell am I paying $40 to park a car? And then obviously when you get there, everything, a bottle of water is $4.50. A hot dog is $5. A t-shirt from Paul McCartney Sing is $60. Ridiculous. Absolutely insane. I would not be surprised if at some point you got to put a quarter in to take a piss. Just like the urinals are blocked off and you got to put a dollar in, and then it opens up and you get about 60 seconds. And then if you don't finish in that 60 seconds, you either got to lock yourself next to that urinal or you got to get out and try again. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised if that happens. Yeah, everything's expensive. Sports events specifically are expensive. And it's interesting because the model idea that you're going after is funny and funnily enough, if that's a word. I was discussing this with my mom about airline tickets. She was saying, oh, airline flying is no longer enjoyable. It's such a hassle and it's so annoying. And I said, yeah, that's great. It's not great that you say that, but it's interesting that you say that. The reason for that is because the money that is being made is not going back into the service itself. It's simply just going into the pockets of top 5% people who run the company.
But they're giving you peanuts, Peter. They're giving you peanuts.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You've got these billion-dollar flight companies coming up with ideas where I saw recently that they're apparently either trying to approve or testing out a new way to sit, which is a seat that you stand and there's a little slanted cushion for you to just sort of like rest your behind off of, but you're virtually standing. You're virtually just standing on your flight and you buckle yourself in, but you're standing with a little backrest and a slight cushion. And the reason for this is because if they can fill a whole plane of standing people instead of sitting, they can add an extra whatever, 20% or 30% amount of seats. And apparently my mom said something about double decker seating, but it's not like a jumbo jet where it's two levels. They're just taking the baggage away and just putting seats up there or something like that. Something really crazy. They are doing everything they can because they're saying, oh, we need to be cost effective. It's a lot of money to run these companies and we don't have enough money. Okay, let's look at the CEOs and let's look at the owners. How much are they making? I can promise you all of them are making six figures or seven, most likely seven. If we're talking airline companies, it's seven figures. Do they need seven figures? No. Do they want it? Do they have a right to because they work there? Arguably. I don't know how many of them actually worked for that money. But nonetheless, they don't need seven figures. Just like how the CEO doesn't need billions of dollars. Why the hell is the owner or the main guy, the president, whoever the fuck, getting billions of dollars from an airline company while the airline company is making arguments that they have to cut budgets? Because they're greedy. I promise you, if someone like that, let's say the head, the president, whoever the top dude is, kept a six-figure salary, still great, like borderline seven-figure, and didn't end up with billions of dollars a year, that money could go into airlines, not only making the flights more comfortable, but allowing people to have more options for food and drinks on the plane, the flights themselves would be cheaper, and the planes themselves wouldn't break down as much. And then people working on the planes would get paid more.
Yeah.
Same thing with sports, same thing with virtually everything. For whatever reason, I don't know why in America it is such an individualistic society. It's me, 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 me first, mine, mine, mine. I will get my money first, and then you can get whatever's left. And yeah. Because of that, companies are sapping everything. Sports industry with these major companies. Great, they, a baseball player is making a $200 million contract for 3 years. So he's making whatever the hell that is. That's what, $70 million per year? Yeah,
for four years, about $50
million. Oh, my bad. So $50 million a year. Great. And mind you, not to say that these baseball players need to be paid less, because God forbid we take a tenth of their money away for playing baseball. I get it. I understand that they're high octane athletes. They're in the 1% of people, and they're entertainers as well as athletes. And it's very reliant on their body. I am certain that you could pay them $15 million a year for 4 years. That's $60 million. That other $180 million that we just took away from them, I promise you would benefit multiple stadiums. And that's one player, let alone all the players, let alone the owner of the stadium, who's making eight times that.
Who claims he's just about breaking even.
Right. Of course, because just the way that American economic and politics work, there's all the loopholes that say, well, I'm not making any money from the company because my money is being put directly into stocks. So all my money isn't liquid. My ass. Bull crap. I understand it's not liquid, but it is loopholes and sketchy dealings so that you don't have to pay taxes on your $1 billion. God forbid you pay towards society. I mean, granted, the government is not doing crap with our taxes anyways. If we actually had meaningful tax paying results and real infrastructure, it'd be worth paying tax. So I understand that perspective, but the argument that these billionaires and these nine digit millionaires are claiming that it's a tough life and they're whatever bullcrap that they come up with to justify the money that they're making. Absolute horse crap. Absolute horse crap. And it truly shows the individualistic side, because and it's so interesting too, because when you look at it, there is a potential for these organizations and these companies to be so much more successful in 15, 10, 15, 20, 30 years if they think long term. If they give money back, right? If they take, they're making $1 billion. Let's say they take half of their income from this company and they give it directly back into the stadiums that they own and take 50% of the high earners that are making like $300,000 a year and up, take about half of all their money and put it into the infrastructure of the organization, the making sure that everything's up to code, up to standard, comfortable, cheaper seats. Not only would more people go, but you would develop a brand system. People would be loyal because they go, oh, I love that. That's their cheap seats. They're good games, cheap food, but not garbage food. And it's a good time. And I can go with my friends. I can have my 15-year-old son can go with his buddies, and I don't have to spend, I don't have to put a down payment on a car to get it. It would create lifelong loyalty to a company and that's expectations that you can rely on. And it would then allow them to expand. And those people who's been there for 10 years are going to invest money.
Yeah, let me intercede here. That is why I was talking about me and my dad, or my dad and I.
Right. No, that's it. That's exactly why I related it to that. Why you brought that up. But like, that's the thing. If it was still as cheap as it was, or if it followed the way wages work, if it followed behind that, and it was still mm-hmm. as affordable, I guarantee you'd be going to games.
Yeah. Right now, absolutely. I guarantee you'd be going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You'd be taking me to games, even if I'm not like a super sports guy. Right. I'd go to games with you, and I'd be interested because it'd be cheap and it's a fun thing. It would be as cheap as going to a movie, which movies are now crazy expensive. You pay $25 to sit in a chair. It's ridiculous. You know, that's why Disney movies are a perfect example. Unless someone actively wants to go out, it is a scam to go see a Disney movie in movie theaters, because they're almost always on the service for a $20 paywall. Guess what? If I'm watching that movie with more than one person and I pay $20, I've already saved double that, because a movie ticket is $20. And the gas to get there is another $10 to $15 or $20, depending on how far it is. Not $20, but $10. The food that I'm going to go eat out with, that's another $40. The popcorn and the water, that's another $15.
Yeah.
And instead of all that, I'm going to save all that money and spend just $20. And I'm going to eat the food in my fridge, save gas money, and I don't have to buy a ticket. And I can be in the comfort of my home. Oh my God. Ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to pause right here. For those who don't know, we record this on Zoom. And because Zoom is an absolute dick bag, they have a time limit for free users of only 40 minutes. And we're at like a 40 minute mark. So I'm going to pause, and then you guys aren't going to realize, because I'm just going to stitch it together, but I have to cut it and then put it together. So this is a great time to pause and take a little wee-wee break. We'll be back. And we're back. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah. So, you know, in regard to what you're talking about, I just want to get back to a salary quickly.
Yeah.
I know that players in the minor leagues get paid nothing practically. And I know that it takes a long time, if never, to get to the majors. But nobody can justify to me that a pitcher in the major leagues who may win 15 games will average out, if he's getting paid $37 million or $30 million for the year for his contract, for $2 million plus for each win. That is ridiculous.
But that's the thing. It's not 37 for his whole career. That's per year.
Per year. I'm saying
that's 37 per year. And also, that's 37 per year outside of endorsements. So if they do commercials, if they sell t-shirts, if they sell, and now mind you, they may be, depending on whose contract, it may be a buyout of certain amount of commercials per year, but certain people, like, you know, if you're LeBron and you've got your $100 million a year contract, he's got his contract, he's got his endorsements, he's got his own shoe company, his clothing company.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Yeah, nobody can tell me that this doesn't attack our economy. Nobody can tell me, from the silliest things, well, it's not silly, of giant snails to inflation, to climate control, to all the things that are affecting our country now, politics, the rich, the middle class, and the poor. The middle class is getting eliminated. In Florida, we have a lot of people losing their homes because they can't pay the rent and we're getting homeless. I'm sure this is happening all over the country. I mean, for example, my lawn man, who does a great job, just raised me $100 a month because of the fuel that he has to use.
Yeah.
So everything is going up, up, up. So eventually we are going to have a people joining one side politically, economically. And you remember one of our podcasts was, is America heading towards the crapper?
We called it. I mean, it's not that hard to tell, but we called it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can honestly see trouble brewing ahead. A lot of trouble. And
well, here and on top of that, I mean, how dystopian, on top of all that, we have billionaires starting their own civilizations in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, for those who don't know, I think we spoke about this in one previous episode. I'm not going to get super into it because we're sort of winding down. But Mark Lohr intends to build what's called a woke city. He wants to build it somewhere in the desert of the U.S. where he says residents will have equal access to healthcare, school, excellent schools, and safe environments regardless of income. Bill Gates has just announced that he's going to build one. Why are we, first of all, why are we allowing billionaires to start civilizations? These are businessmen. I wouldn't trust their stupid ass cities with anything. The, like Bill Gates, the man who has tested on third world countries some drugs and various other things, the man who's making billions of dollars and is doing so little with it, and the things that he is doing almost always is of self-benefit. I pity any dumb sap who goes to these billionaire cities and goes, you know what, this is a good idea. If you're going there because you have literally no other life or you're homeless or whatever, I get it. I understand. You've got like no other outlet. Fuck it. Whatever. You make it work. Maybe you get out. Whatever. But if you have a decent life and you're like, you know what? Bill Gates, man, that's a good guy. Please. Please.
Yeah.
So yeah. I find it awfully dystopian on top of everything else that as the world is crumbling in terms of American world, very, very selfishly American world, we have billionaires going, I'm kind of bored. I want to start a civilization. It's like they're playing Clash of Clans or Pocket God. They just want to like start a little civilization of little ants. Their little ant farm. That's what they're doing.
Peter, there was a sci-fi movie made twice. It was called Rollerball. I think we talked about it once before, where large companies are ruling the world rather than governments. And rather than have wars, they each had rollerball teams, and the rollerball teams would compete, and that's how they would determine issues, what was going to happen. That was, you know, it was a fantasy, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. I understand what you're saying. We are headed towards haves and have-nots.
Well, we're already there. We're already at that point.
Yeah.
What we're headed towards is a quite literally a polarized nation where it is literally one or the other. We've already had that concept for decades, but we are hitting a point where it's fascism versus everything else virtually, because centrists, leftists, even moderates and moderate rights are all virtually on one side, and then fascism on the other, because that's what's parading. Those are the Proud Boys. Those are the white guys. That's what's the insurrectionists. That's what's making movement and actions. And it sucks, but everyone else is being lumped into them or not them.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
and on top of that, we have them being very religiously forceful and somehow combining church and state when the whole foundation of this was to not have church and state together.
Nine people control what's going to happen in our country.
Ridiculous. I know. My favorite.
Again,
oh, go ahead.
No, and again, getting back to entertainers or sports people getting these giant salaries. Why should somebody get paid just because they're the best athlete, because they can hit a three-point shot? Why aren't we getting more doctors and more surgeons and more teachers and more health people concerned with the health of women and more better health care and
well,
money?
Well, but see, that's the thing, though. I agree and disagree, because I think there is something to be said about an athlete who is conditioned his body for years to achieve something that less than 1% of the population can achieve. And they're doing it daily or weekly. And they're doing it for the entertainment of millions of people. They are entertainers on top of being physical athletes. So I understand they deserve payment 100%. And they deserve significant payment. But,
yeah, but that's
$200 million, but $200 million for 4 years is insane. I think they deserve significant payment? Yes. $200 million for 4 years is insane. Absolutely, unequivocally, because that's ridiculous.
Yes,
yeah, so I promise you, it's insane.
So we're in the middle of a sci-fi movie with the giant snails. Have to be quarantined so that they don't eat up the plants and whatever's in front of them and make people sick and kill them. That's a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
The next
I meant to say this real quick. We said the snails can cause meningitis or lung worm, but it causes meningitis. Meningitis can make you stupid, can cause brain damage. Just in case you wanted to know that, I was looking up meningitis earlier as you were telling me, and read that it can make you it can cause various things along with death, but one lifelong disability is brain damage. So go ahead.
And rat lungworm, I don't know what the hell that is, but you know
that's the parasite that then causes the meningitis.
Yeah. So we're going to hopefully. A big wave isn't going to come over, wash out Florida and all the ocean communities. You know, I love it when I hear on TV or I go on YouTube and they go 10 years from now, 15 years from now, everything by the water is going to get washed out. And the only ones who are going to benefit from this are people who have money, who are going to be able to relocate and rebuild, unless the government does something. And who's going
and
to?
And we know
to
the government's not going to do a damn thing. So we know the government's not going to do anything because they haven't done anything for decades.
Yeah, when is it going to occur when the TV contracts no longer will be able to pay these salaries? You know, the athletes, and we won't be able to afford to go to the games, which we can't right now. So we are headed for a downturn. And
we've been headed for a downturn. We've been on the downturn. Yeah. It's a question of how far is this going to go? That's the true question, because it's not that we're headed to a downturn. We're at the downturn.
So many things are controversial. That it's like somebody lighting a fuse. Down here in Florida, we have a bill that just said that you can't play music too loud or make noise. If you're disturbing somebody within 25 feet, you can get excessively fined. We got so many different things that are occurring with women's health and abortions.
That's another like hour.
I want to hear something that's happening that's good. I mean, I made a remark.
You know, that's honestly, that's, we've spoken about that before on this podcast too. You know, there, sadly, controversy sells. We are a capitalistic society. The news channels are not going to tell you the good things that happened and the new sciences that we've discovered and the new things, the new health things that we've discovered that will add an extra 2 years to your life. We will not report that stuff. I was literally went to college in part to learn news reporting. Not once was I ever taught to focus on positives. I was literally taught to focus on the interesting stories. And what was interesting was deaths, fires, police problems, controversies, fighting, fires, accidents, because that's what sells. That's what gets eyeballs, because we, for whatever reason, need capitalistic news organizations. Controversy sells.
You know, it's funny, Peter, and I'll, unless you want to add to this, I could add, I could end with this.
End it.
I'll be 78 next month, this month. And one of my granddaughters is being bat mitzvahed. That means she's going to be 13 in the Jewish religion. And she, that was my number one on my bucket list, to be alive, to go to her bat mitzvah. And I have a 11-year-old granddaughter. My number two is to be alive, to be at her bat mitzvah. And then I said to your mother the other day, another thing that number three on my my bucket list was to see your 11-year-old brother graduate from high school. I said, but I don't think I'll make it. And she goes, no, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And then she said something while I'm saying this. And you still got to be around for when Peter has children. Oh, God. You'll be a great grandfather. And I said something. Yeah, but he has to get a job first. And that is what our economy, for the average person, is the problem today, like you've always alluded to. And that's why when I look at these salaries, it makes me sick that people are having trouble getting jobs today who are educated or not educated. It just makes me sick. It does. So
I agree.
So with that, I don't want anybody to be sick. I hope everybody stays well.
I hope no one gets attacked by giant snails.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's the birds. It's like Hitchcock's The Birds, except it's snails.
Yeah, and I'm really pissed off that I can't have my snails and garlic and butter sauce now, because you could. My stomach.
No, you could, but it's an entire meal.
Yeah, it's a different snail, but it just turns, you know, turns your stomach thinking about it. So anyway, I love you guys out there. I wish you all well, but realize that things are changing, not for the better. And all I hear is bring Trump back. And
that'll fix everything.
What scares the living hell out of me is I can't take our present president and I can't take Trump, but I still look at, we didn't have the problems when he was here. So
the two-party system is broken. Two-party system is stupid. No other country has a two-party system. It's ass.
Yes. So anyway, everybody, enjoy the last day and a half of your July 4th weekend.
Fuck the 4th of July. We ain't celebrating. Fuck that. America's trash. Fuck that. Oh, my God. You think I'm going to go barbecue and shoot fireworks off? I can't. No, fuck that. I'm going to play video games and I'm going to go to bed. I am not celebrating.
You're not going to be able to go to bed. There's going to be rockets shooting all over the place.
I know, because I got a freaking Trump golf course nearby. So he's going to be shooting fireworks off in ridiculous. They shot fireworks off for when Roe v. Wade was overturned. That night, fireworks went off. I was losing my shit.
Oh, insane. Yeah.
Regardless, everyone, have a good rest of your day, night, evening, wherever the fuck you're listening or watching us to. Send this to your friends and family. I hope they disagree with us. I want to start some shit. Let's, like, disrupt some people's lives.
Let's disrupt.
Like, let's disrupt. Comment, share. Do it all, please. I love you.
Yes, sir. Love you, too. Bye.